look at the Sanskrit again, maybe chant it with more comprehension. Evam puradharanayat amanoyonir nashtam smritim pratya varudetustat pratatasa sarjedam amoga dristir yatapyayat prag viasaya dibudi. Okay. And oops, my goodness. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Roop, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the creation as before. What's the word? Paradox. Yeah. Because it says that Lord Brahma meditated on the Virat Roop, before the manifestation of the cosmos. Okay. So how did he do that? Maybe somehow or other, maybe he remembered it or something. It's strange. Okay. And why did he do it? Okay. He did it to appease the Lord. So we're talking about whether or not this is a good thing for us to do, to engage in these Virat Roop meditations and in this modern world. And is pantheism a good thing? So earlier in the first chapter, Prabhupada mentions that meditation in the Virat Roop or the pantheistic conception will have little benefit if it's not done with a devotional attitude. Okay, so there's a very important point. If somebody has an attitude, even if it's not like fully enunciated, but he wants to serve Krishna, he wants to do something, he wants to act properly, and all he has accessible are these pantheistic meditations, and he concentrates on them with a little bit of this attitude, a little bhakti to think, well, how can I serve God, like that and so on. Then he can appease the Lord by looking at the Lord's creation with this attitude, and then be able to get the consciousness necessary to do his work. Okay, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Purport. The examples cited herein of Sri Brahmaji is one of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. Brahmaji is the incarnation of one of the Lord's, of one of the mundane attributes of the Lord, being the incarnation of the mode, of the passion mode of material nature, being the incarnation of the passion mode of material nature. He is empowered by the Lord to generate the beautiful material manifestation. So Prabhupada says here that the beautiful material manifestation, and in the light of the Bhagavad, Prabhupada says we should never talk bad about the material creation because it's coming from Krishna. Of course, this isn't the mode of passion that one sees it as beautiful. In a sense, the mode of ignorance and mode of goodness may have a different perspective, not see it as attractive and beautiful and stimulating. And also it's important because that Brahma is an incarnation of the mode. So that means that Brahma is pretty much an impersonal thing. The person, you or I, Vidagda, Hamananda, Narahari, Hanumanchak Swami, Mataji, we can all become Brahma. Can't become Brahma, but we can all be absorbed into that position as individual jiva souls. And it's Maya. It's just an incarnation of a mode of material nature. That mode of material nature is then manifesting as a puppet, a certain form like that. Okay? Yet, due to his being one of the numerous living entities, he is apt to forget the art of his creative energy. Okay? So he has that creative energy to create so many powerful, wonderful things, but he's apt to forget the art of his creative energy, how to use the tools that Krishna has given him. This forgetfulness of the living being, beginning from Brahma, down to the lowest insignificant ant is a tendency which can be counteracted by meditation on the Rupa of the Lord. So here we have beautiful grass growing and the sun shining. You know, very refreshing, refreshing. So we were thinking about that, and we're thinking that, you know, we, in the material world, you know, we're all thinking somehow or other, I am God, you know. Of course, you know, our idea of God may be to be the master of one woman and one child or five children or some city. You know, in our consciousness, you know, we may think of something as being, you know, really being the manifestation of a God without thinking of God in terms of the name or something like that. The idea of God is far away. You know? But you know, some Buddhists, you have a little Buddhist fellow here in our picture, and he's thinking, I am God. Okay. Then all we have to do is stop for a little while and meditate on a great white shark. Krishna says, among fish, I am the shark. So, of course, great white shark is about 3 meters long, 10 feet long, and very, very, they don't think. They just kill, you know, eat. You know. In the picture, you can see the size of the body and the muscle and everything else. And also, the look on the face is not very, you know, it's amazing. Also, dangerous to man, Papa says. Like that. They eat all kinds of things. They eat rocking chairs. They just rip them up and swallow them, you know. Yeah. And so they are like just the absolute manifestation of authority, power, you know, like that. So if we say, oh, some devotee, you know, Bhakti Philip, he went out swimming in Hawaii. What happened? Oh, he was eaten by a great white shark. It's kind of like a glorious way to die, you know. For generations, people in the family will say, oh, your Uncle Philip, he was eaten, killed by a great white shark. You know, they found parts of him floating on the beach the next day. Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah. So just like thinking like that, then it takes us out of this forgetfulness of our position. And it may not be a very sophisticated composition of God, but at least there's some idea, you know, of God. You know, Arjuna asks in the 10th chapter, he says, I'm an ordinary warrior, prince, kshatriya, caught up in all these activities. How can I meditate on you? And Krishna gives these vibhuti mat sattva, different specific energetic incarnations. I am the taste in water. I am the light of the sun. So these two things especially, you know, are very potent, you know, in terms of thinking of Krishna. Here in Tennessee, for about 4 or 5 days, there was no sun, maybe, you know, 10 degrees below freezing at night, and, you know, miserable. And then the sun has come out for like the last 3 days, 4 days, and you just see everybody, everybody's lightening up and, you know, feeling more frisky, and the digestion's going, and, you know, everybody's, you know, appreciating. Okay, that's God. Prabhupada says you can think. These two things, Prabhupada says, especially any common person can appreciate. The light of the sun and the taste of water. The taste of water. Yeah. But beyond that, if you meditate on any expansive thing like a shark, you know, meditate on it. Think about it. You know, research it. Look on the Wikipedia. See how much these guys have to eat every day. I don't know. It's probably going to be something that's quite astounding. I'm God. How much do you eat every day? Well, maybe like, you know, half a quart or something. Yeah. I don't know how much, half a quart of khichdi, three quarters of a cup of khichdi, okay. You know, a shark eats probably something, I don't know, 150 times that much, you know. And he digests raw meat with bones, everything, like that. So, okay, so we begin to appreciate some idea of who is God, you know. This chance of reawakening our God consciousness, of getting rid of our forgetfulness, is available in the human form of life. This chance is available. Yeah, chance is available in the human form of life. And if a human being follows the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam and begins to meditate upon the Virat Rup, then revival of his pure consciousness and counteraction of the tendency to forget his eternal relationship with the Lord can follow simultaneously. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. And of course, this is it. We have some little pictures here of Krishna dancing with Balaram and a couple more boys. And one is clapping, and one is playing a buffalo horn like that. And so we actually have a form. This is my idea and supported, as far as I can understand. We have a form. Nitya Siddha. Krishna Prema. Nitya Siddha. Krishna Prema. Sadhya Kabunaya. Shravanadi. Shuddha Chitta. Karaje Udaya. Shravanadi. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the deity, serving the lotus feet of Krishna. All these things, they karade uzaya. They make this consciousness wake up. It's not something we get from some other source. That verse is quoted in Upadeshamrita. I think it's from instructions to Rupa Goswami, like that. To Sanatana Goswami. So many citations in Upadeshamrita, and so many things are actually from those two chapters, chapter 19. Two sections, chapter 19 and chapter 20 through 24, I think. Rupa Siksha and then Sanatana Siksha. So they make a very wonderful study for devotees to go through and have seminars on those. So we have a relationship, and it's just we've forgotten it. So if we follow the instructions, follow the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, and begin to meditate upon the Virat Rupa. So, of course, this is the instruction of Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Of course, in the first canto, we understood who is Maharaj Parikshit. He's asking these questions, but it's not like some kind of interesting thing in comparative theology or something like that. And he's in a very, very tight situation. Someone's going to come and kill him within a matter of minutes. Within a week, like that. So if anybody there, different devotees, in Arahari Prabhu, if you got the notice, you got 1 week, that's it. You're not even going to live to see Christmas. December 23rd, you've got to check out, like that, and something. You're going to be pretty much healthy right to the very end, and then the last day or so, it's going to get you. So it's another meditation. Whatever it is, I come as death. So great meditations. It's actually kind of fun. I have enough money to cover all my expenses for 1 week. I don't have to work to maintain myself and pay my food, eat and sleep. Whatever. Well, what am I going to do? Well, 1 week I could get a ticket. I could go ahead and charge it on my credit card. They can't get me. Can give all my money away to the temple or devotees, and then run my credit card bill up to the max. And then go to Vrindavan, go to Mayapur. So, we start to meditate, upon the Virat Rupa. We can revive our original consciousness. But what is our object of meditation? Of course, in the age of Kali, what Srila Prabhupada is giving us, what Lord Chaitanya is giving us, especially as the holy names, the holy names. But it's also Srimad Bhagavatam, but principally the holy names. And every day we're enjoined to do about 2 hours of personal meditation with enthusiasm on the holy names. And then we engage with other people, maybe like half an hour of bhajan kirtan in the morning, evening. That's kind of our standard diet. And then the deity, to see every day, see the deities and look at them and appreciate, how they're dressed and criticize how they're dressed and how we would do it differently, or actually even engage in the the archana and the puja. Then we have the Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the Krishna book. These, of course, are all pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's devotees in the Bhagavatam. So that is Lila Smarnam, Nama Smarnam, Narupa Smarnam. So we're not actually so much directly engaged in this Virat Rupa meditation, but it's being given here. The Bhagavatam is progressive. It starts with the Bhagavad Gita, finishes off with you know, the gopis dancing with Krishna in the Ras Lila. So we should expect that also the meditations are going to be progressive like that. So I would say that definitely we can take advantage of it. You know, I myself is just, you know, sunshine. I appreciate the sunshine when it comes out, and I appreciate that that is Krishna. And I go out and stand on our porch here, and the sun's there, and I offer my respects to the sun god, and if ever he can see me, you know, and how I'm acting and stuff like that. You know? So it's just not an improper meditation for a devotee, even a very advanced devotee, I think, appreciating how nice Krishna is, you know. And it's not like something he did and left, you know. It's not like a painting by Da Vinci or Van Gogh. Oh, okay, the Mona Lisa, you know, very nice, you know. He's gone, though. But here's a manifestation of the kind of person he was, or whatever. But no, the cosmic manifestation is a manifestation of Krishna's activities. It's his current activity. If he ceases to do these things, if he ceases to blink, then the days and nights won't go on like that. You know? Everything is an actual living activity of Krishna. You know? Appreciating all the cars, I'm looking out my window on Medical Center Parkway here. It's one of these four lanes, you know, two lanes this way, two lanes that way. And it's continuous, you know. Cars going this way and that way. And if I look a little bit, then I start to see, well, how many pickup trucks and different times of the day is different things. And, you know, in the morning hours and the evening hours, you see so many people in transit to their employment. So there's so many, passenger vehicles. Then trade vehicles pick up during the day, you know, like big vehicles for dropping stuff off at the stores. And because it is Medical Center Parkway, we do get like quite a few ambulances and stuff going here, you know. So you start to look at it, you start meditating and contemplating it. Even that, you begin to see like there's life behind this. It's controlled. It's regulated. You know, why are these people doing this? You know, so many things you start to appreciate. And then my goodness, how can you ever forget Krishna? You see how he's doing everything. You know? Okay, so suggesting beginning meditating on the Virat Roop to get rid of this intoxication that I'm God. Okay, and Prabhupada goes on and says, and as soon as this forgetfulness is removed, the via vasaya buddhi, as mentioned here, and in Bhagavad Gita 2.41, follows at once. This ascertained knowledge of the living being leads to loving service of the Lord, which the living being requires. Like that. Yeah. So right now we're in illusion, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, the mirror of the heart is covered by the dust of all these accumulated, you know, reactions of different desires that stimulate us this way, stimulate us that way. Oh, you gotta have a cigarette, gotta have a Coca-Cola, gotta have a milkshake, gotta have a walk, gotta get, you know, watch out for that, be afraid of this, watch out for spiders, spiders might get you. You know, so it's deep within our intelligence, our buddhi, you know, which is in the heart, you know, are all these things, you know. But once they become a little bit cleansed by meditating on what is the spiders, what are the cigarettes, what are the, you know, milkshakes, what are the, you know, Coca-Colas, what, you know, then it's very, very natural to have one-pointed intelligence. You know? At that point, we're not baffled anymore. We're not frustrated. Yeah, those interesting words. We're actually focused then. We have just one intelligence. We understand one thing. We know what the path is. You know, we know who Krishna is. We know who we are. All we have to do is do it. You know? We're not confused about what is the path anymore. What should I do? We know very clearly what we should do. And we just have to do it. You know? You know? And then because of that, then we go, you know, to Bhava Prema, like that. You know? This is my understanding. And it says ascertained knowledge. You know, so it means it sounds kind of like it's there, you know, but the thing is we have to do the work, right? Ascertained. We have to actually make the investigation and find out and see, yep, that's it. Aha. It's there. Yeah. Okay. Leads to the loving service of the Lord, which the living being requires. So we look for a picture here. We're looking for our different graphics. A lot of our graphics just come from the clip art thing in Microsoft Word. Yeah, it's pretty good clip art. It's interesting. You know, you put in certain words, you know. And I think I put it in Ramanujacharya, came back, you know, Buddha, they get a lot, you know. But you put in some of these things, some words, and says, nope, I don't talk about that, you know. So it's kind of like some, you can see the people behind this, and there's a certain political, you know, decision about what things are appropriate or not, you know. It's amazing, you know, what kind of things they come up with. And they come up with a lot, you know, in God, prayer, you know, like that, so on, yeah. Money, yeah. So we've got a nice clip art here, I think we're looking for this. And here's a little girl, or somebody who thinks they are a little girl, with a teddy bear, you know. And so it says that the living being requires this, you know. Every little girl requires a teddy bear, okay, yeah. And even in simple village life, you know, as soon as they grow up and they're part of the human ambience, and it's not just little girls, you know, little boys, whatever, you know. This, what's it called, which is Vatsalya Ras, you know. It's one of the rasas. And so it's very, very natural to feel this desire to protect somebody, you know. You want to feel. You want to feel good. You want to feel that you're protecting somebody, you know. So you can protect your teddy bear. And then you feel maybe when things get tough and people are, you know, aren't treating you fairly, then you may go take shelter of your teddy bear. He may, you know, talk to you and comfort you, you know. So it becomes just like Mother Yashoda with baby Krishna. She's protecting baby Krishna, but at the same time, too, she feels that, you know, baby Krishna can also, in a certain respect, you know, protect her. You know? So, which the living being requires. Papa says, the kingdom of God is unlimited. Yeah. Therefore, the number of assisting hands of the Lord is also unlimited. The Bhagavad Gita 13:14 asserts that the Lord has his hands, legs, eyes, and mouths in every nook and corner of his creation. This means that the expansions of the differentiated parts and parcels called jivas, or living entities, are assisting hands of the Lord. And all of them are meant for rendering a particular pattern of service to the Lord. Wow, it's a nice, you know, conception here. Let's get a picture here of looks like a high school basketball team, you know. And look at the coaches behind them, and a couple guys have their hands under the basketball, and the rest have their hands on top of the basketball, like that. So you see so many hands. This is an interesting conception because, you know, ants have hands, pigeons have hands, seagulls have hands, you know sharks have hands. You know. Everybody has these hands, you know, with fingers, with hooves, with fins, you know, and they're everywhere, and they're making the creation go on in different ways like that, you know. And to think that all of these are actually Krishna's hands. This is the, what's it called? Sahasra Shirsha, Sahasrapat, Sahasraksha. He has thousands of hands, he has thousands of eyes, he has thousands of heads. The Purusha Sukta, it's one of the principal hymns, you know, describing the Supreme Lord. What does that mean? It means these hands, our hands. I got my hands here in front of me, and, you know, what am I using them for? You know, what is Krishna using them for? You know, some kind of cooperative endeavor. But then, go ahead here. So, a particular pattern of service, that, you know, Prabhupada says, a particular pattern of service. So for me, this is always a very, you know, enlivening thing, is that every living entity is created to fulfill a different function like that. Even if you take something like, you know, the engine on a Mercedes-Benz automobile, a Porsche, you know, like that. So many detailed parts, you know. When Ratavaja Swami, he loaned me his mother's car, and I was taking such good care of it, you know. It's been about 2 months now, you know, just using it to go back and forth to Tagore Sundar's house in the evening mostly, you know. But Monday I was hauling the rolling garbage can up from the street and bouncing along our unpaved driveway, and sure enough it whacked right into the taillight. What do you call it, the other thing, and popped a hole in the taillight thing. Oh my God, you know. And if I'd been like an ordinary materialistic person, I would have been, it's all kinds of distress, everything else. But as a devotee, I was just thinking, okay, maybe I did something wrong. I probably did. I know I did. Okay, yeah. And this and that, okay, so now we've got to deal with it. You know, one of the things, Majjhima Madhukarya, that level one, should not lament too much. We should lament for our stupid activities so we can burn them up, but not too much, and get to work about it, repairing it. Okay. So I started pushing my intelligence, you know, pushing it, find the auto parts place, how to get there, how to drive there, went over, saw the guy, went in. I always had a feeling that when you go to an auto parts store, you've got to be kind of macho guy, you know, so it's kind of like a real man's place, you know. So it's kind of getting my macho intelligence. I always wear a dhoti and kurta and, you know, this kind of dress, even around here in the middle of Tennessee. It's kind of an interesting, you know, preaching platform. It's interesting to see how people react, you know, in the middle of Tennessee to, you know, dhoti and kurta. But anyways, when I went into the proper consciousness and everything else, and I said, hey, buddy, hey, you gotta tail light lens for a 1992 Sierra Oldsmobile, you know. Put it right in front of him. He said, well, just a second, let me look. He said, yeah, we got that. It's only $192. Okay, so it's a 2-inch by a 6-inch piece of red plastic. And if Pratapa Goswami wants me to, I guess, okay, we'll go ahead. When he gets there, come back tomorrow, next day. We'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and order it from Napa. But then I went over to Farrar Brothers Hardware Store. And a fantastic place. It's owned by the Farrar Brothers. You know, they've been here for a long time. And the guy was kind of helping me and asking me what I wanted. And he said, I don't know. You know, so he took me to one place. And he couldn't find it. And I said, what about this? He said, oh, yeah, that's it. You know? So for $1.49, it was interesting. It was $149 or something for the piece of plastic. It was $1.49 for a roll of taillight repair tape, which is transparent. It's red, but it's transparent. You know, okay. So I took it out, stretched it out. It was exactly the right width. It fit exactly over the thing. I cleaned it off and put it on. And don't tell her to tell Jamar. That's all. It's a secret, you know. Yeah. That I put it over it, and I think he won't even notice. It's like, I'm going to tell him, though. I'll tell him. But it does. It looks perfectly. It looks perfect like that. I don't think we'll need to do that. I can maybe give him $140 to print books or something, you know. But it's a real example of how every single living entity is designed to fit in a certain specific way. Okay, some of the, you know, we'll call it gear lifters or something like that may be, you know, interchangeable, maybe like five or six of them, or six-cylinder car. So if you got lifters or something in there for the valve control or the valves, okay, maybe you got six of those are identical. You know? But it's not identical for your model always. In a different year, the model changes. What to speak of the manufacturer, and even these lifters, they push the toggle things up and down that open and close the valves as the crankshaft goes around. Okay, so after some time, they wear in a different way. So if you take the whole engine apart and, you know, we call it plane the head or something like that, it's good to figure out which one of the lifting rods, if they still use those. You know, is controlling which of the valve tappers, because they wear in a certain way. So when they come off the assembly line or something, we try our best to make them all one, although even at that stage, I'm sure you'll find differences. But after some time, they're different, you know, like that. So this is every single individual. It's like somebody, you know, Prabhu, I'm better than you in every single way. I get this feeling, I have an inferiority complex, you know, which is probably due in part to my inferiority. Oh, Prabhu, you're useless. You know, you can't distribute, you know, 100 books every day. You can't open so many temples. You can't do this and that, and so on and so on. You know, and so every way. You know, I'm a better devotee than you are, Prabhu, in every way. No, and of course, the material life is even worse, I guess. You know, there's nobody who can surpass us at our service. We're designed to do it. You know. We have this function, you know, and simultaneously, you know, as long as we're in Maya, Krishna's having no direct benefit from our service. You know, so we should get out of service as quickly as possible. You know, maybe we're a basketball, maybe we're a basketball net. You know, maybe we're, yeah, you know, but we have this very specific service in the spiritual world, is our comprehension. And not only that, it's all we can improve it. You know. Now Krishna, which was the word again, back here, the page up. And all of, I meant for rendering a particular pattern of service. So the word is pattern of service. Dashiras, Yakiras, but different colored cows, different kinds of milk, different tendencies, different attractions. The kingdom of God is unlimited. If, for example, a person wants to enjoy, if you're an enjoyer in the material world, you inherit money, you're going to go to San Francisco, you take your Lear jet, which is custom designed, you land at the airport, the town car picks you up, and it takes you and your consort and your associates to the Mark Hopkins or the Hyatt Embarcadero, checked in, you go to your room, My goodness, what does it take? How many people, to manufacture this pyramid of different kinds of toys and equipment and things like that, so you can exist at the top of this pyramid. And everybody else has to have some kind of motivation and everything else to help you. So the same way in the spiritual world, but everybody wants to participate. Everybody's trying to be at the bottom of the pyramid, to participate so that Krishna and his girlfriends can have a good time, And always new and interesting ways, We have some indication of how things can be improved. Well, wait a second, we could do this, we could do that, Even Krishna and Balaram, they're talking about things. Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and Shiva and Parvati, they're talking, having confidential conversations, Okay, we did the material world this way this time and Maya did this. Okay, next time let's do this, let's do that, How can we reclaim more conditioned souls? Always expanding, always improving, And always, Krishna is such an enjoyer. And so it's our natural position. There's no real why, we're enjoying this. We just do. And it's for Krishna. My goodness, I'm becoming more enthusiastic here. Okay. I guess next to last purport. Yeah. The conditioned soul, even in the position of a Brahma, forgets this. By the influence of the illusory material energy generated out of false egoism. And we have a little graphic here. We looked on the clip art, and sure enough, there was Napoleon, the great emperor, the Grand Emperor. One can counteract such false egoism by invoking God consciousness. I'm not God. The shark is bigger than me. The sun is better. Sunlight's better friend than me. So it all comes from this false egoism, which we become. Maya comes along and offers us all these different things. And maybe you don't think it'd be very attractive to be Napoleon Bonaparte. Maybe you think it's something else. Of course, she offers you the false egoism. The one side offers you attractive things, strawberry peppermint ice cream or something like that, covered in chocolate sauce with candied mango slices or whatever it is, you want. But on the other side, besides attracting us, she also makes us repel things, reject things, attraction and repulsion. So she comes along by presenting you with all kinds of garbage food that you don't like, you have to eat, In either case, whether you're trying to avoid it or you're trying to capture it, the false ego is there. And that makes us forget our real business, which is, serving Krishna. Okay, so one can counteract his false egoism by invoking God consciousness. Liberation means getting out of the slumber. Liberation means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness and becoming situated in the real loving service of the Lord, real loving service of the Lord, as exemplified in the case of Brahma. The service of Brahma is the sample of service in liberation, distinguished from the so-called altruistic services full of mistakes and forgetfulness. Liberation is never in action, but service without human mistakes. Liberation is never in action, but service without human mistakes. So in a picture here we have Santa Claus and people sharing beer, and this whole Christmas time is, of course, a very altruistic time. And so, we have the Christmas marathon to try and dovetail this altruistic spirit. But what is the altruism? They're giving people things that, you know, will engage them in some reaction. You know, Johnny Walker, red, pink, blue, green label, you know. And here in Tennessee, probably don't have in Hawaii, I don't know. They have these advertisements for, you know, for hunters, you know, different kinds of deodorant or something, or different kinds of things you can use. You know, weird stuff, really weird, you know, to be a hunter, you know. So you can hide out up in the trees longer, I guess not have to evacuate or something, you know, so to chase the deer away. It's weird stuff. And when you think of it, God, it's just terrible, terrible. And then you have these they're very high-powered rifles that just, you know, some poor deer, you just pull the trigger and this, you know, piece of steel then smashes right through the shoulder and through the lung, and then you fall on the ground with your, you know, your arm broken and, you know, unbelievable pain, and, you know, and just going to wrench yourself to death, you know, while blood's foaming from your mouth, you know, so on. I guess, you know, maybe people, we have these tendencies. You want to do this. You want to show people that I'm the boss. I'm the controller. I can kill you. You know, that's what meat means ultimately, is I can kill you. And so then the person says, yeah, I bagged a 17-point buck yesterday. Wow. You know, pretty. And his two of his does were, does were with him, and I got one of them before they got away. But it's this unbelievable impersonalism, you know, covered consciousness. You know. As soon as you become a little bit uncovered, of course, you can't even conceive of doing this. You know. So, okay. So that, I guess, it's about the entire purport then. And of course, the verse again. Evam para dharanaya mayonir nashtam smritim pratya varudyatu shtat tata sasarjata sasarjedam amogadristir yata pyayat prag devasaya buddhi. Formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Rupa, gained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the cosmic creation as before. So thank you very much. All glory to the Prabhupada's. Any then complaints, comments?
Maharaj, as you can hear, I have unmuted everybody.
John,
so be careful to talk too much background noise.
No, it's not so much.
I have a question right off the bat, since you mentioned that.
Swing your bat.
In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 14, where it says that the Lord has his hands and legs and eyes everywhere, I had understood that that was speaking of the super soul, but it would appear that, from here, that it refers to either the living entities or to both the living entities and the super soul.
Well, yeah, this is, let's see, trying to understand all this, you know. It's like trying to, you know, people try to understand the world, you know. So I remember, like, you know, was it first grade, second grade or something, they teach you about liquids and solids and colors. You get to learn the names of the colors, you know. You get to see how something dries out, you know. And so you see how a plant grows, and it goes on like that, biology, physics, and if you keep after it, then they go through Newtonian mechanics, and then you'll get into like hydraulics or something, and then quantum mechanics. Yeah? So it's not a simple thing in some ways. So to my, you know, comprehension, looking at the whole, you know, Bhagavatam program we're doing here, you know, Bhakti Bhai Bhava and everything else is systematically, this is presented again and again, very systematically. So far it hasn't been presented very much. In Bhagavad Gita also, not very much. The modes of nature, the living entities are different from each other. But as we go on in the second canto, then there'll be very detailed, and very detailed explanations of this process of creation and all these things and cosmology. The third canto will be repeated again by Maitreya, by Kapila, and in the fourth canto, I think in Paranjana there'll also be some description like that, but not so much the elements, you know. So, as far as our comprehension goes, okay, then out of the pores of Mahavishnu come all the universes. like bubbles. Okay, bubbles of what? You know, soap powder, and they're all pradhan, you know, and the pradhan is the non-manifested form, you know. We're still calling them like bubbles, okay, yeah. And then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters in, okay, and then from his navel comes Brahma, okay. So then Brahma then gets the potency, you know, to do the work, to create all this, his active potency. But, you know, behind the work of Brahma is the Paramatma, is the impersonal Vishnu, as Prabhupada says, you know, the Trimurti, Kshirdaksha Vishnu. You know? Yeah. And so the levels of this are, you know, Paramatma, Paramatma, and then Hiranyagarbha, and then Virat Rup, you know, like that. You know? And so different levels of the same thing. And so the Virat Rup, when you start to look at it properly, is the Hiranyagarbha, the golden seed, you know, who's everywhere and causes all this stuff to be produced. And then behind that is the Paramatma, who has beautiful features and, you know, beautiful eyebrows and everything else like that. And because of that, everything is being created. You know? It's just like if you go to somebody's house, some bachelor's house, it's kind of a, you know, impersonal, efficient place. You know, okay, you know. But you go to somebody who's a married fellow, and there's, you know, nice curtains, fresh air, sunlight, flowers, and vases, and you realize, okay, it appears that he and his wife are in a good relation, and they're happy, and the whole house is being generated because of her sensitivity to aesthetic qualities and his goals, and yeah. So that's the way it is. Ultimately, yeah, it is the Virat Rup is the Paramatma in cooperation with the Jivatmas. And that's why all the little hands wiggle. All the little hands wiggle because the Jivatmas and the Paramatmas are working in cooperation. Is that okay?
I don't understand what I think you mentioned three different forms, the Virat, the Hiranyagarbha, and one other.
Paramatma.
Oh, Paramatma, okay. So what's the difference between the Hiranyagarbha and the Virat?
Okay, the Virat is where you see turtles, pixies, platypuses, pogo sticks, pillars, and something else that begins with P, okay? Like that, puke. There you go. You see all these things. Yeah. You know, I am the shark, I am the mountain, I am this and that. But the next level is where you begin to realize the potent creative force. You know, Garbha means seed, right? That the seed that is behind all these things, you know, there's Hiranya, the golden seed, you know. And it's a you see what I mean? It's a level that's not so gross. That's a Hiranyagarbha yogi. He's not eating so much. He's this and that. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have this and that. You know, but he sees people. He smiles at them. They smile at him. The guy is some kind of intoxicated dude walking around, half dressed. You know, and people just look at him and whoa. You know, so that's the Hiranyagarbha yogi. He sees that the great fertile potency, the great golden semina. Yeah, it's described that way too, you know, which is fertilizing the pradhan and making it manifest these things, you know. And so you see it's right on the way to the Paramatma, but we think Paramatma is some kind of picture in Prabhupada's books or something, but no, this is what it is. The Paramatma, you just look at him, it's just like, wow, he's, you know, you can just see, you know, how he is the creative force that manifests, it is manifesting all this stuff. It's just coming from him, everything we see. You know, like that, so on.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Would that line up with 7-2, the numinous, the spirit behind it?
In general, those terms we were discussing before, like, you know, the phenomena is what you experience, and the noumena is the cause behind it.
So is that what you're discussing now? Is that the numinous?
The noumena, yeah. Numinous would be the causal, yeah. Yeah, the phenomena and the noumena, yeah. Well, see, the phenomena, well, see, it's just a general term. It's a general term. It means like the experienced and the cause behind the experience. So if you're experiencing the Hiranyagarbha, then that's the phenomena for you, you know. and then the Paramatma still remains the noumena. If you come to Paramatma, that's the phenomena, and behind that is the noumena, which is Mahavishnu. And so like that, then Mahavishnu, Sankarshan, and then from Sankarshan to Balaram, Balaram to Krishna, Premanjana, Pachurita, Bhakti Vilochana. Yeah.
But then there's nothing more to know than this.
Well, yeah, if you take it completely in a complete sense, you know.
Because I was just trying to connect that verse in with what
you're saying.
Seems like it fits.
It's the same thing, but of course he says there's nothing more to know. Well, the word being translated to know is jnana, you know? So there's no more jnana, there's no more jnana than this, you know? Once you know the Paramatma, there's no more jnana, you know? But we go beyond jnana then to more subtle things that we know, you know? But you can't know, in one sense, you can't know Krishna. You know, jnana won't work with Krishna. You have to love him, and then simultaneously, when there's ananda, there's automatically chit, you know, consciousness of Krishna. I know you. Okay, let's dance. Okay. Krishna's going to invite you to play a game of basketball.
All right.
I guess
we
some
have
people
a
that
question.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Now, we have speculating for some people. You know, heaven might be, you know, the God is a basketball player. That for them might be like, wow, you know, yeah, come on, let's shoot a few hoops together, you know. And, playing basketball with Krishna. Yeah. Sorry, forgive me.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada talked about service without mistake. The question has come in, how the service is done without mistake.
Because the mistake is the forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna and the forgetfulness of the relationship of every living entity with Krishna. So I try to serve them by inspiring them to love me, to love my false ego. Love my false ego. I'm your best friend. You know? And so that's not really service. You know?
Maharishi said that Prabhupada referred to the Paramatma as the impersonal Vishnu.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like an oxymoron.
Yeah, it does. I know.
What do you think he meant by that? It strikes me funny.
No, it is because it's the he talks about the Pancho Pashana people, you know. The guys who say that, you know, that the Lord should be worshipped in five forms, including Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, Surya, I've got one too many here somewhere, other, and Vishnu, you know, Panchopashana. He mentions it several times. That's conception, you know. So one of those is Vishnu, you know. But in that sense, then Vishnu is being equated with one of the three Murtis, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, okay, you know. So, okay, it's better than, you know, worshipping your motorcycle or worshipping beer, you know, or something like that, you know. So, okay, so then Krishna's willing to come and to reciprocate. He'll reciprocate in the form of Vishnu. But that Vishnu is, he's got Karanakshay, Noksha, Shirlakshay Vishnu. He doesn't exist in the spiritual world, that form. It's kind of like a reflection in the mirror. When there's no mirror, there's no, you know, no Shirodaksha Vishnu. There's no reflection like that. So that a reflection of Krishna is in some ways impersonal, because you can't embrace him. You can't, smell him. You know, these kind of things like that. So in that sense, it's like a kind of impersonal manifestation. But I would say it's above the Virat Rupa conception. If you only can appreciate God in nature, you know, which some people do, and they're nice people, you know, ecologists, but they just cannot hold the conception of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, you know, like that.
Maharaj, also, sometimes it says a super soul for the non-devotees is neutral. For the devotee, he's personal, but for the non-devotee, he's neutral. So sometimes you could think neutral is impersonal, because he's...
Exactly. And that's the same Premanjana Charita. A devotee whose eyes are tinged with the salve of love, he sees that the Paramatma is just Krishna's hand. That's what it is. It's all just Krishna's hands and legs and toes and everything else, you know, like that, you know. So if, you know, if you take Krishna's hand, you kiss it, you know, and like that, and just, you know, so happy to see you after so long, like that, you know. And it's not at all inferior to Krishna or something. It is Krishna. You know? So that conception that the devotee lives in this material world. Prabhupada says a devotee lives in this material world seeing everything, quite happily, seeing everything as a replica of Vaikuntha. You know? Yeah, that'd be quite a cheerful consciousness. You know? All these cars rushing by here and there. I guess it's the River Jamuna in front of my doorway.
Vishvam Purna Sukhayate?
Yeah. The whole world becomes happy for him. Yeah. Not a phantasmagoria.
It would seem that on another level, that Paramatma isn't neutral. I remember reading not that long ago, Prabhupada was saying that though we're not listening, Paramatma is always speaking to us and always trying to encourage us to come back on the path, to come back to Godhead.
Yeah.
But just like say for example, a someone's father is a referee at a basketball game and his son's on one of the sides. Now, of course, he has to act neutrally. He has to act in all fairness. But really, in his heart, he's not the least bit neutral. He's hoping that his son's team is going to win. And Paramatma, in one sense, and that's correct, he's neutral. He's acting neutrally. But in his heart, he's not neutral at all.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. So the heart of Paramatma is heart of Shirdakshaya Vishnu is Mahavishnu. Yeah, and with Mahavishnu you can have a rasa. You can, once you come to Mahavishnu, you can stay with him. You can't stay with the Paramatma. You can't stay with Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. No, they won't exist in the spiritual world. But with Mahavishnu, yeah, Shantaras, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Allah Akbar. It's just. And it's just like, you know, the greeting the deities forever, you know, on and on like that. You know? So it's the lowest level of bhakti, the permanent eternal bhakti is with Mahavishnu. You know? So for devotees, these are very important because it's just like we have a very, let's just say, like naive, simple, direct conception of God as a person by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you know. And but sometimes it is contaminated as we think of, you know, we think we know Krishna, I know Krishna, I know the deities, this and that. But then we start to get into it, begin to realize, no, we have to refine our consciousness that, that Krishna is manifest as the Paramatma, but that doesn't mean Krishna exactly. It's kind of an impersonal thing, you know. And so we have to understand all these different aspects of Krishna to really fully appreciate, you know, Krishna in more intimate forms and be able to serve him in more intimate forms like that. Yeah.
So who's in our heart? Does it change with realization?
Well, you know, what's reflected in the pot of water? You know, if you look at it, if you put a pot of water in your room, the room is all dark, but the water happens to be like in the sunlight, then the water will bounce off and be all over your room, you know? So that's Brahman, you know, like that. And if you go and look at it, then you can see the sun, you know, in the pot of water, you know, like that, you know. But of course, that's not a full representation because then if you follow that, you know, that you look through it, and then you can see the sun, the actual sun itself, you know. Yeah. So it's all a matter of purification, you know, what you see.
Yeah. I think where Madan was going with this question is that. For when one becomes a devotee, and depending upon how his devotional path evolves, he may come to the point where actually in his heart is no longer Vishnu, but like the verse, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokyanti Yang Shaima Sundara Achinta Gunasvarupam Govan Adi Purusham Tamahamachami. So for the devotee, particularly in our line, I assume the day will come when we see right in our heart.
Yeah, that's what I was quoting. I already quoted that three times.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's where Madan was going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, that's what I was saying. I quoted that three times already. Yeah, yeah. But the thing again is when in Goloka, when Radharani sees Mother Yashoda, what does she see?
When Radharani sees Mother Yashoda. I don't know. I guess she sees Mother Jasoda.
But she also sees Krishna. Yeah, yeah. So that's a subtle point. We can still be seeing the Paramatma, but we see it as simply a transparent via media to Krishna. So when Radharani comes to cook with her friends, they come and they cook every day for Krishna. She looks at Mother Yashoda, and she can see, oh, Krishna's sick. You know, oh, Krishna's having some this and that. So she sees her right away. She says, Mataji, what's wrong? Oh, Krishna had a little bit of fever. Oh, well, okay, I'll cook this today. So she sees Krishna, you know. One girl came to the temple in San Francisco in 450 Bible Institute a long time ago, and she said that she had been came for a little prasadam at lunch, and she'd been in Prabhupada's garden there in San Francisco, and she said she'd asked Prabhupada, what does it mean that a devotee sees Krishna everywhere, you know, like that, you know? And he said, whose glasses are these? And he picked his glasses up off the table. And she said, they're your glasses, Srila Prabhupada. So she said, so at least that. He said, at least a devotee, he sees everything as belonging to Krishna, having some relationship to Krishna. Okay. So it's a subtle way of seeing the parampara. In some ways, it's better than just seeing the form, you know, because beyond the form is actually nama, rupa, lila, guna, lila, sangha, you know. So more than the form is even more important, the qualities we see within the form, and the qualities within the form we see then actually depends upon the associates, and with the associates then there's lila, like that, and so on. You know? So in some ways it's more important to see Mother Yashoda, you know, and see Krishna through Mother Yashoda, because then we can understand Krishna's qualities, you know, like that. So an interesting kind of seeing.
I find you can do that if you put apostrophe S. So instead of saying like Radha Krishna, you can say Radha's Krishna, Yasoda's
My
Krishna.
Goodness. Wow. Yeah. I always remember some of your examples, Madan. Your unusual way of looking at things.
Please forgive me for doing that to you. I'm sorry.
No, I remember we were coming from Lima. We preach in Lima. We go up to Chosica, which is up the river valley. You know, it's about like maybe 20, 30 minutes. You know, so about halfway up there was this like, you know, 25 foot tall, you know, maybe like 77% naked woman, like that, you know, advertisement with a tiny bottle of Inca Kola. You know, trying to figure out what she's selling. Well, okay, but I always remember your example that, you know, we look at Maya and we think, oh, it's Maya, you know, I got to reject this. But let me tune in a little bit better to see what kind of Maya it is. Okay, yeah, I got to reject it. Okay, let me tune in a little better. You know, oh, okay, that kind of Maya. Yeah. So, and you were talking about how you noticed that, you know. And so I went past this thing maybe like, you know, 15 times while we were there. And I made this, remembering you, I made this promise I was never going to look at it. And I could see the temptation, you know. So kind of as soon as it came within halfway within my vision, I would just redirect my vision. And I was remembering you. So thankfully, I have 15 times of not, you know, tuning in Maya so I could reject her.
They had a bulletin board here.
Oh, my goodness.
That had it written upside down. The whatever was on there was written upside down. So passing it day after day, I figured, okay, what does it say that's written upside down? And it said, you'll read even this.
Yeah. A good horse runs even at the shadow of a whip. Buddhist phrase. Okay.
So, all right, I was just saying that we could put up signs about Krishna conscious verses, different things in so many places, and people are forced to read them. Changing bodies,
yeah.
Exhibits, they have to. There's no choice when you see it. Unless you do that thing, you forcibly turn your head away. They're going to look at it and they're going to read it.
Yeah. So many ways to preach, huh? Wow. And of course, this pantheism is one very nice way. You know, I guess we shouldn't. I have a suspicion the purport is probably going right ahead. You know, we. To more advanced topics, but of course it's one very practical way, very practical, I mean very, very practical for the common people. Unless you create a nice pantheistic environment, they're not going to be able to think of God, you know, for me too, and I need like a little bit of warmth, sunlight, everything else like this, you know, and so on. Well, anyway, it's already 11:15 our time, and I guess it's something much 7:15 your time, so please accept our humble obeisances.
Can we ask a question that will just take like 1 minute to answer?
Okay.
All right, somebody's asking, is the worship of Lord Vishnu more strict than worship of Krishna?
I have a suspicion this word strict comes from like scripture, from being written like that. So what does strict mean, you know? Strict, you know? If it means like, you know, you can't deviate, you can't make deviations and stuff like that, then no, of course, the worship of Radha and Krishna is the most strict. You know? But if it means like what is written down, you know, and what is very rigid and formal in that sense, you know, like that, then no, of course, you know, the worship of Vishnu is more strict, and the worship of Radha and Krishna is more spontaneous, flexive, creative, and ever fresh. Like that, you know, like we offer the same things every day to the deities in the form of our Vishnu Baba on the altar, Mahalakshmi and Narayan Baba, you know. But then Radha and Krishna, maybe they want potato chips, like that, you know. Maybe they want to watch, you know, Donald Duck cartoons or something. Okay, you sure? Yeah, we like Donald Duck. You know, okay, all right. Yeah, okay, yeah. So we go get some potato chips and get some bean dip for you while you're at it. Okay, here's some bean dip. Yeah. And so, they want things. They're original. They're creative. They're funny. They like everything. You know? And so the worship of Vishnu is more strict. You know? But at the same time, if we mean strict in terms of deviating from love of God, of course, then no, then the worship of Radha and Krishna is most strict. It's, you can't make even the slightest, even a razor's edge is probably, you know, kind of fat when it comes down to being, you know, precise in the participation in serving Radha and Krishna.
All right. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Remind us, how much longer is it before you go traveling?
Well, we go on Christmas Day. We go for 1 month in South America, and we're back for a week, and we go to India for 3 weeks, and we're back for the entire spring and summer, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll write you about that to clear that up. Okay.
Okay. So thank you all very much, and please forgive our offenses and encourage us to become more purified. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.